I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. I'm going to give you a message about a day in the life of the apostles. Mark chapter 6, and we'll begin looking at verse 7. We love you folks, and Bobby McKeever, where is he? He's somewhere. Oh, he left. Anyway, there he is over there. Brother McKeever and his family, we go back a long way, back before he was born. His dad was my assistant in one of the churches I started in West Tennessee. And I actually put him in his first pastorate in Scottsboro, Alabama, Branch Church. And it's just exciting to see Brother Bob E. What do they call you here? Bobby? It's okay. Roberto. It's good to see him continuing in the ministry. Boy, doesn't he do a great job of song leading and all that? I'll tell you, he does. Wow. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, the song service here is like being back at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga back in the good old days. And back then, we had times that it seemed like that church was in perpetual revival, right? Just a perpetual revival. And people were leaving school early because they were afraid that if they didn't leave and get into the ministry, the Lord was going to come back and they wouldn't be able to get into the ministry. It was just such an antsy, such an urgent need to get out there and get into ministry. In Mark chapter 6, if you found your place, stand with me. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. We're just going to bounce through this chapter and read some verses, and then we're going to share. I'm going to share a message with you. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Look at verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now go to verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Let's stop right there and just think about this for a minute now. Those of us who are preachers, we've been to preachers' meetings. Sometimes you can go to a preacher's meeting and you don't hear so much boasting from the pulpit, but when you sat down to eat lunch, you hear these pastors say, "Boy, you should have seen you should have been at our church on Sunday. We had five people come forward. We had four baptized." And they're just bragging and bragging, you know. I can just hear these men here. "Man, you should have seen the devil I cast out. You should have seen the person got healed when I did my work," you know. And whether they did that or not, I don't know. But I kind of feel like they might have done that. You think about this. They had never had any power like this before in their life. Never. And all of a sudden, boom, here they are, healing people, casting out devils, doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Now, you go on. And it says in verse 31, "And when he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure as much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities." Now, can you imagine this? People running from all these cities and coming. And it says, "And out went them and came together unto them." They must have had a marathon going on. And then it says that, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." Let's pray. Father, Have your way now tonight, I pray, Lord, that you will bless the reading of your word and bless the preaching of your word. And I ask you, Lord, to give me clarity of thought, give me discernment, give me, Lord, what you want me to say and help me to say it in a way that you'd want me to say it. And I pray, Father, that you will help us tonight. Help us from your word to see some things here that will cause us to stop and think about our own lives and what's happening with us and how we can do better as born-again believers. And Father, we pray also that if there's someone here tonight that does not know the pardon of sin and the fact that they are a child of God, I pray, Father, that tonight they would come to the Savior and receive Him as their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please. You can just imagine these disciples. I mean, I remember the very first time I led a soul to the Lord. I thought, woo! Amen. I started singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And you know what? I was just so thankful the Lord had saved me and just gave me the opportunity to share the gospel in a way. I mean, I had to listen to somebody else explain how to do it first. Right. Instruction is very important. Right. You'll find that the disciples taught. Jesus taught. There's a lot of teaching going on in this Bible. Right. A lot of teaching going on right here in this school.
That's right.
You better get all you can get. Like somebody said, get all you can and can all you get. And hold on to it. It won't take long. You get out there in the ministry, you'll say, man, I need to go back to school. I didn't learn enough. And let me tell you what. God can help you. School is not to prepare you to be the perfect preacher. The most, I started to say embellished preacher. Charismatic preacher. School is to teach us how to learn. How to learn. Not everything to learn. We have to learn on our own. We have to learn things after you leave school. So don't think you're leaving school, I've got it all. No, you don't have it all. There's a lot to learn. A lot to learn. And these disciples, they had gone out, they had cast out demons, they had healed the disease, they came back and told Jesus what all they had done and taught. And Jesus didn't say, well, hallelujah, boy, you guys are great! He didn't say that. He said, I think we better depart to a desert place where you guys can get some rest. Because I can tell you something, when preachers get tired, they can fail. We need rest. And we need to get... That's why it's like Dr. Faulkner said, the reason some of you folks can't get up on time is because you don't go to bed on time. So if you're going to get up, you got to go to bed. And so Jesus takes them aside, but He can't get them separated because all these people came from all these cities and come running and outran them and ended up in the place where they were trying to go. And when Jesus came out of the ship, He said, oh no, not this crowd. No, He didn't say that. It says that when He came out of the ship, He said He saw the people and was moved with compassion toward them. Because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. Now, a lot of things have been going on in our world. A lot of things on the news. A lot of things to the detriment of our nation. A lot of things to the detriment of our society. A lot of things to the detriment of our homes. A lot of things to the detriment of our government. A lot of things going on. But God is still in control. God is still in control. You know what? Other Christians have gone through these things. They've gone through these same situations. And they were able to continue ministering. Some of the people that we've sent to the mission fields around the world, they've gone through difficult times in many years past and in the present day. But God is still alive. And we need to trust Him. Trust Him day by day. Amen? Need to learn that little chorus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 And when you get down, sing. Praise. Get out of it. Get going again. And just ask the Lord to help you. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I want you to notice something here that happened. About the time that Jesus had compassion on these people, the disciples, it doesn't say a thing what was happening with them, does it?
Right.
The fact is that evidently when it began to get a little bit dark, they began to want to leave. I believe that they were wanting, they said what they said because they wanted to get rid of this crowd. So they said to Jesus, send them away. It says, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. Now the time is past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. I don't think the disciples were as worried about these people getting something to eat as they were concerned about getting something to eat.
Right.
And getting rid of the crowd. You know, we got to be careful. The Lord puts us in situations sometimes that are uncomfortable. But those may be the opportunities the Lord's giving us to be what He wants us to be for that moment. And we need to perform. We know what God wants us to do. We know He wants us to be a witness. We know that He wants us to serve Him. We know that He wants us to take advantage of the opportunities that He gives us. And so we need to take advantage of that. I could give you some illustrations of my own ministry. When I wanted to just go home and go to bed because I wasn't feeling well. But a man who'd been in our church, a new church, been coming, he didn't come that day. When we were locking up the door, the daughter and son-in-law of that man appears and said, Pastor Bales, our dad, gave his name was John, said he's in the hospital, about 30 miles away. He said, he's in the hospital and he wants to see you. Well, you know, sometimes preachers are not the most spiritual people in the world. Sometimes their wives are a whole lot more spiritual. And so we went. I told her, "Oh yes, I'll go see him. I'll go see him." We get in the car, and my wife said, "I told my wife, I said, you drive." I said, "I don't feel well." She said, "John, we've got to go to the hospital and see that man. What if he's not saved?" Isn't it something how wives can convict husbands? And I said, "But honey, I'm not feeling well. I need to go home. We need to go home and let me rest so I can preach tonight." "No, we've got to go see this man." Well, we did. You know what? He was almost unconscious, but he was able to understand me. And he was in an oxygen tent, and I led him to Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And a week later, he died.
Wow.
Folks, let me tell you something. We need to take advantage of the opportunities God gives us. And here, these disciples are saying, send them away. Well, Jesus answered them. He said unto them, give ye them to eat. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus knew they didn't have anything. Huh? And yet he told them to give them something to eat. Now, just a moment. Do you know where Jesus starts? He starts with us.
Right.
We don't have to have anything. We don't even have to have any abilities. But God starts with us. If we're willing to make ourselves available, then He can use us. If we're willing to say, "Yes, Lord," He can use us. Well, here, Jesus said, "Give you then to eat." And they said, "Well, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread?" What they were doing, they were being sarcastic. What they were saying was, we don't have that much money. And we don't even know where to buy it. Be careful about making excuses to the Lord.
Amen.
"Well, Lord, I don't want to go knock on that door because, there's probably nobody there. I can look at the house and I can tell it's probably empty." Now that might be true. But you know what? You don't know. So you knock on a door. I know a pastor out in the Midwest. He had a man visit his church on Sunday. He said, "I'd like to come by and visit you." He said, "Sure." He said, "Won't you come tomorrow?" So he went by. No answer. No answer. He went back and got in his car. And then, like the Lord spoke to him, he said, "Why don't you go around to the back of the house?" And so he went around to the back of the house, and there that guy was, out back. And as a result, he led that man to Christ. And he told him, "Man, I hope you come. I want you to come. Come on Wednesday night and be with us." He said, "You know what?" He said, "I've got to go out of town. I've got to go to Wichita." This was in Kansas City. "I got to go to Wichita and do some business up there." But he said, "I'll come back. I come back on Wednesday and I will be there Wednesday night." The man never came to church because he was killed in a car crash on the way home from Wichita. We don't know when God's giving us opportunities. Amen? And sometimes we make excuses for not using those opportunities. The disciples, I believe, was doing that. And Jesus is going to have to teach them a lesson. Sometimes He has to teach us lessons.
Right.
He said unto them, when they said, "Should we buy 200 penny worth of bread?" He said, "How many loaves have ye?" But He didn't stop there. He said, "Go and see." Go and see. Now, if he had just asked, "How many loaves have you?" They could have just said, "None." But then He said, "Go and see. Go see what's here." And they went out among the crowd. They found what? Five loaves and two fishes. And from what we understand, it was a little lad there that had those. Somebody said there were two miracles that day. The miracle of getting that lunch away from that boy. And then the miracle of what Jesus did with it. But Jesus did not stop by saying, "How many loaves have you?" Jesus knows that we don't have anything. Everything we have belongs to Him. But He wants us to seek. He wants us to knock. He wants us to call. He wants us to put forth an effort in our service to Him. Amen?
Amen.
And so, they went and saw. They found the five loaves and two fishes. And when they brought it back, they probably were going to say, they were thinking among themselves, "What is this among so many?" Because it says there were 5,000 men there. Well, He told them, had them sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. He blessed and broke the loaves. He blessed and broke the loaves, and he 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 broke the loaves. Think about how many times he had to do that. Just continue breaking bread, breaking bread, breaking bread, breaking bread. 5,000 plus maybe women and children.
Right.
And it says that he gave them to his disciples to set before them all. And the 2 fishes. I divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, think about this. Do you remember a verse in the New Testament says, "Give, and it shall be unto who? Give, and it shall be given where? Unto you." That is exactly the very purpose why we should give. Because as we give, God causes giving back to us. I saw a fellow illustrate this one time. Said he learned the secret of giving, and so he started giving. He started giving, he started giving, and started coming back. Coming back, coming back. And after a while, he said, he started sticking it in his own pockets. You know? And he started getting really thrilled about getting all this back. And he started getting it back, and he stopped giving out and started stuffing it in his own pockets. Now, I'll tell you something. God does not give to us that we might hoard it on ourselves. He gives to us that we might use it to minister to others. And that's what we should be doing. I'm not saying God doesn't give some people much more than others. Somebody said, well, some people He can't trust. I don't know whether that's it or not. I'm not sure that's true. I just know that God does give some people the gift of giving, to where they're able to give large sums. God might allow you to be that way someday. But I can tell you this, you will never give to God's work that God doesn't return it to you.
True. Amen.
Dr. Robertson, he had what was called the Golden Tithers Club. In other words, when you joined the church, you had the opportunity to become a golden tither. Okay? And he would make this promise. You tithe, and I guarantee you God will take care of all your needs. And he said, now, if you tithe and God doesn't take care of your needs, you come back and see me, I'll make sure you get every penny of your tithe back. He said, in all the years I've promised that, I've never had a taker. God will supply our needs. Amen?
Amen.
When all these people had been fed, and there were 12 baskets full left over, must have been one for each of the disciples, right? No. I don't think so. Who gave it? Who gave it? The lad. I think the lad got some of his friends together, carried those baskets home, and when he got there, his mama said, "Son, what did you do? You robbed the bakery." Hey, God gives to those who give. And we need to remember that. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something here. The disciples were used to deliver all that bread and fish. And then Jesus, it says in verse 45, Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he come walking to them. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you think Jesus knew that storm was out there when he sent them out there? It says he constrained them to go. And it says that when he saw them, when he came walking to them on the sea and would have passed by them. Do you ever notice that? He would have passed by them. Wow. I remember hearing that song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." Dr. Robertson would have them to sing that, like during the invitation sometimes. It wouldn't be the one they started with, but he'd switch to it. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry." And I thought, what an unscriptural song. Jesus would never pass anybody by. And then I read it in the Bible. There it was. Now, I want you to notice what happens here. It says he would have passed by them, but he didn't. What happened? Look at verse 50, or verse 49. "But when they saw him walking upon the sea and supposed it had been a spirit," what did they do? Say it out loud. They cried out. You know what? We as Christians today, we are so ignorant. When we find ourselves in a bad situation, we don't cry out to God. We start trying to figure out what we can do to get out of it. That's not the way to get out of it. The way to get out of it is just fall down before God and say, "Oh, God, help me." These men were believers in God. Who do you think they called on when they cried out? They thought Jesus was a ghost out there. They didn't know it was Jesus. And they cried out. I believe they cried out, "Oh, God, help us." And he did. Because Jesus is God. Amen. It says that they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." We don't have to be afraid in the storm. We don't have to be afraid in financial storms. We don't have to be afraid in physical storms. We don't have to be afraid in any kind of storm because God is still our helper. Amen? Several things you can count on when you find yourself in a storm. Number one, Jesus knows you're there and he probably put you there. Secondly, he prays for us while we're in the storm. He was up in the mountain praying. I think he was praying for them. And then, thirdly, he will come to us in the storm. And number four, when he comes to us in the storm, he will quiet the storm around us, or he'll quiet us in the storm. Now you say, "Boy, that's pretty good. I like that." Well, it's not mine. Warren Wiersbe, I heard him say, use that. Isn't that good? We learn from other people. Great truths. The Bible has full of truth. Amen. Some people can just state it a lot better than I can. But I want you to see one more thing with me. Look at the next few verses. "For they considered not..." Look at, "And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was what? hardened. Now think about this for a minute. Here are the disciples who were sent out. They were casting out devils. They were healing people. They were teaching. They come back to Jesus and they're telling Him everything that they had done. And then they have to wait around while He teaches the people many things. And then they want to send them away. And Jesus says, "You feed them." And they had to go out and find food. And Jesus took the food and performed a great miracle. Right before their eyes. And not only did He perform the miracle, they were part of it. He gave them the food to give out. Do you realize that we are part of a great miracle? Do you realize the day you got saved, that was a great miracle? Do you realize that Jesus is sufficient for all the world to be saved? He is the bread of life. Amen? You know what? Jesus used their hands and their feet to do the work that needed to be done after He broke that bread, that fish.
Right.
And they considered not the miracle of the loaves. You know what I think? I think they were just going through the motions. If we're not careful, we'll get exhausted. We'll forget about what God's doing. We start thinking about what we want to happen. And we just lose track of everything. We just get distracted. And we can just start going through the motions. And we can just do what God tells us to do, but we're not doing it from the heart. We're just letting our heart just become indifferent, just getting hard. And we're thinking about what we'd rather do. It could happen, if it could happen to the disciples, could it happen to us? Could it happen to us? Oh, Paul said, guard your heart.
Amen.
Folks, we have a ministry that's given to us, whether we are in the ministry or part of a local church. We have a ministry. And we need to keep that ministry going, hot and heavy. We need to stay with it all the time. We need to keep our minds and hearts focused on the Lord. And every day, we need to take time to focus our heart and mind on the Lord by reading the Word of God, staying in the Word of God, spending time in prayer. And do that first. Do that before you do anything else. Start your day out that way. And let God enrich your life and use you for His glory. Let's stand together in prayer.